Adams, Adamley, Adamowski, Bueller, Burns, Burns, Burns. Joe, where are you going with that mic in your hand?
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Silverman is going out of her way to do it as an author, like a published book author, against OpenAI. Here's the idea of the lawsuit, and it's a good argument. It can get slapped down, but it's still a good argument. They state,
class is in.
This is the Rock School Radio Show here on the Rock School Radio Network. Got a few other little stations checking us out. We may have another affiliate or two real soon. Yes, I agree. I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Tammy Burns.
Okay, look, this is going to be another one of those AI shows. And the only reason I go another one of those, I get the feeling it's going to become a rather common topic on the show, because before last year ended, I mean, we're into March here, I was talking about the fact there were all of these different lawsuits, and my question was always again and again, how are you going to come at it? I mean, how are you going to blame a computer program for stealing your stuff? And the quick answer is, well, all I'm going to do is sue the people who made the computer program. Okay, fine, but the fact still remains you're going to have to prove that they are in some way responsible for someone else using it. Except now the lawsuits are starting to come to fruition, and the people who are suing the AI companies are coming up with some really interesting things and some really interesting ways that they're attempting to sue AI. If you remember, during the writer's strike and the SAG strike,
right?
I remember saying something to the effect of, number one, I don't think a lot of people are going to care. And I think I was right about that. There was just too much content being created. But furthermore, the writers and such wanted this idea of protection from AI. How exactly? I mean, seriously, how exactly? I think it's like asking for protection from mosquitoes. It's going to become part of our existence. What is the protection that you want? Well, I began to run into a bunch of these lawsuits that are being brought, and some of them are being brought by comedians. And the ones,
what?
I know.
What do you mean?
The ones being brought by comedians, specifically Sarah Silverman, it sounds like it has a shot at it. But to start the show off, the one that really bothered me, because it sounds like it should work, but I don't know how it's going to work. There's an idea of what's known as derivative in copyright. And derivative means that if you listen to, say, Queen, and you rewrite the song You're My Best Friend as You're My Dog Heart. I get it. It's different, but it isn't, quote, substantially different, and it isn't anything more than a derivative of.
Or parody? Is it parody once you just change a few words?
Yeah. You're going to have to prove it's parody, but that's, you can't, as an AI, say, well, the fact that people stole your song through our programming is parody. That's not going to fly. That's absolutely not going to fly. So, late last year, the New York Times sued OpenAI and Microsoft, alleging that the companies are stealing copyrighted content to create their large language models. Okay, hear me out. An AI can only grab from what it has before. It can only grab from what's out there. So if you say to, say, OpenAI, what will happen is OpenAI will go look at what has been done before, using what has been done before to create something for the future. Which is why, at least at this point in time, I'm so easily able to catch kids who are using an AI program to write their projects.
Really?
There's a format to it. It sounds a certain way. It'll only take an amount of time before that's all programmed out. But what the New York Times is saying is that you are using our content to create the underlying idea. So even if what is created was not written in the New York Times, you still used the New York Times in order to create the newest thing. Now, we're going to apply that directly to music here in a little bit. And what's interesting as well is what I suggested earlier. Who are you going to sue? Well, they're suing OpenAI and Microsoft. OpenAI claimed no wrongdoing. Meanwhile, the Senate Judiciary Committee on Privacy, Technology, and Law are starting to hold hearings on this. So my question is, if an AI is created and it uses everything in the New York Times, okay?
Right.
And it creates something new. What's the difference? And I think this is going to be the defense. What's the difference between that and a person who has read the New York Times their entire existence and is using that to create a future book? Is that derivative, or is it just what you use?
Well, your brain, I don't, or anyone's brain can't hold on to all of that information, right? Like AI can pull it up.
So the difference is how successful it is. The difference is how efficient it is.
I don't know.
So efficiency means copyright infringement?
I don't know. It sounds to me like they're suing the wrong people, though.
I don't know. We're going to tell you what people are doing. We're going to tell you what the lawsuits are. And at the end of it, there's no answer. It's just what's happening. And we'll tell you all about it. Got to play some music during the show. What are we doing? We're going to play music where in some way the instruments or some of the instruments aren't real. Do you remember Timbuk 3? The future's so bright, I got to wear shades.
Oh, yeah.
There's no drummer. They simply used a drum program. So, should the creators of that drum program have profited from the hit?
Oh my gosh. Probably, huh? Or unless you paid an amount of money for it.
Timbuk 3 here on Rock. Okay, let's now apply these AI lawsuits to music. Music publishers Universal Music, Abco, and Concord Publishing sued the artificial intelligence company Anthropic in Tennessee federal court on Wednesday, accusing it of misusing innumerable, that's in quotes, copyrighted song lyrics to train its chatbot, Claude. Think of the New York Times lawsuit. You gotta give Claude, which is now Claude 2, by the way, you've gotta give Claude a base by which to go off of. Then it becomes what they call machine learning. Claude creates something. The person who asks for it goes, "No, I don't like that. Do it again." And Claude says, "What's wrong with it?" And they tell. So the machine is, quote, learning. And, and learning is really a wrong tool, a wrong word, if you will. What it means is, didn't like this, don't do it again. Didn't like this, don't do it again. Kind of like this, do something a little different. Kind of like that. That's what machine learning is.
Okay.
And the thing about machine learning, there's no emotion. None whatsoever. It doesn't care. You can't hurt its feelings.
Right.
I mean, come on. You've eaten something at a friend's house, and you have said, "Bob, this isn't very good," and you've hurt Bob's feelings.
Right.
If an AI made you a lunch and you hated it, you could say, "I hated that," and it would not do anything. so you can always tell the truth to an AI.
It sounds like a great friend, and just saying.
I think that really means something. The lawsuit said that Anthropic violated the publisher's rights to the use of lyrics to at least 500 songs. Apparently, they were able to find where Anthropic used wording. But it says here one of the songs is God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. So the phrase God Only Knows, do the Beach Boys own that? Oh, well, come on. They got it from the Beach Boys. How do you know that? That's the only song that's ever used God Only Knows?
No.
Also, the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter. What if they found the word gimme at some other one and shelter at some other one still?
Right.
It's hard to prove this is it, but and that's fine. Claude, quote, illegally reproduces the lyrics by request. That I agree with. That I agree with. If you specifically ask for Claude to reproduce the lyrics, it will. You can't do that. That's bad. But see, to me, that's only a bit of a programming thing. You tell Claude, don't do that. And Claude doesn't do it. Okay? But quote, if you give it a whole range of prompts and do not seek the publisher's lyrics, still, it's using them because that's the base by which it created what it's building from, right? But what if you request a song about a certain topic, provide a certain chord progression that exists already? You can't own a chord progression. Come on. And you've given it a musical composition, or you want it to create in a certain style of an artist or songwriter. Is that bad? Now, these people say yes, Universal Music, APCO, and Concord Publishing. I do not. And the reason I say it's not bad is this idea of taking the sound of a band and reproducing it, it's as old as time.
Right.
So what are we going to do? Sue Greta Van Fleet because they sound like Led Zeppelin? You see what I mean? Once there's a hit, once there's somebody who's succeeding, you know the record companies immediately are like, find me another Lizzo. Find me another Miley Cyrus. Find me. And what they're finding is someone that sounds the same. Well, isn't that the same thing? So once again, we're questioning, what is it? Efficiency? It's the efficiency of AI to do it, so well, that's wrong?
Your guitars can sound like, you've got all these programs where your guitar can sound like Eddie Van Halen, right?
Not only can it sound like Eddie Van Halen, I can recreate Eddie Van Halen's guitar on the first Van Halen album on this specific song, because I have the ability to have the song listened to by a program. It then redoes the distortion, the reverb, and all of that, and I drive into it. And you say, well, you know, you're still not using the same guitar. Yes, but if I'm using a digital guitar, I'm dealing with digital notes.
Okay.
And I can make it sound like whatever.
And now you're playing at a bar in New Orleans. Do you owe Eddie Van Halen some money?
Hey, there it is. Where does derivative start? Where does it not start? And if you're going to say that AI is doing it, then fine. Go find somebody who sounds like another band. Sue them for derivative. You see where we're going with this?
Oh, it's not good.
Yeah. Okay, look, we got to play another song here. The song Suicide Blonde by NXS. It's got a harmonica solo in it, right? Man, who played that? No one. It's a fake harmonica solo.
Oh, you're breaking my heart.
Now, don't get me wrong. The actual recorded harmonica samples are by an Australian player by the name of Charlie Musselwhite. But it's widely known that Andrew Ferris, the keyboardist for NXS, plays it on a keyboard, not on a harmonica. Suicide Blonde on Rock School. Coming into the first break, Anthropic, the makers of Claude, which again is Claude 2 right now, they fired back. They're being sued, so they fired back. I mean, Jared Kaplan actually fired back. He's the research director for Anthropic, and he said, here's the problem. There is so much content that anything that would be taken is microscopic and only a minuscule fraction of the training data. There's something to that. Because let's say you go to college for 6 years, you got an undergraduate and you got a master's. At the end of it, you know what you've been told.
Right.
You know what you've been told to read. Does that mean if you publish anything in the future, the school that taught you owns part of it?
Mm.
There you go. Let's say you get a degree in music. You learn the guitar, the classical guitar, and then later you perform. Does the school own, I mean, brand new pieces.
Right.
Does the school own part of your pieces?
I don't think so.
See, now we're getting into that concern. Another argument that was created is that Claude has no volitional conduct. If you want to read spectacularly boring copyright law, look up volitional conduct. This is the idea that if you indeed steal something, that means you must have had control over the infringing content, i.e. somebody steals my song, they must have heard it. They must have gone and gotten it and consciously, with malice, grabbed it.
Ooh, that's the hard part right there.
Yeah, now don't fight me on that. Yes, I understand George Harrison was nailed for unconsciously stealing He's So Fine. But this clause here says what I just said. So the thought process is that Anthropic, that's the company that made Claude, states if you put everything out there for everyone to see and everyone to hear, it's really on you. This is a beautiful gaslight.
Uh-huh.
It's really on you. If you want it safe, then make it safe. But if you put it out there, there's absolutely nothing stopping us from hearing it, Claude from hearing it, your mother from hearing it, and it shapes people. That's if I read the lawsuit correctly. Okay, there's probably a lawyer out there that is hitting himself in the forehead right now, but I think I read the lawsuit correctly.
So how do you put a copyright on anything?
You don't.
For real?
No. Obviously, you have to have it. Remember, copyright doesn't mean that it is owned outright. What it means is you have the right to copy it. That's why it's spelled the way it is. C-O-P-Y. There's no W.
Mm-hmm.
C-O-P-Y-R-I-G-H-T. You have the right to copy it. So indeed, if someone listens to a copyrighted album, say they listen to Van Halen's 1984, and the next thing you know, they start playing with tapping and pinch harmonics,
mm-hmm,
and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Do they now owe Van Halen because listening to the album changed their style?
No, I don't think so.
See, there we go. Now, look, law and opinion are two separate things for sure. But writing someone close to what another person has written, this has been going on forever. I think I mentioned earlier Greta Van Sleet and Led Zeppelin. What about The Cure and The Smiths? What about Tom Waits and Nick Cave? I mean, how many different Pop-Tarts have there been? Christina Aguilera is simply Britney Spears.
Oh, now.
She was.
Slow down.
Genie in a Bottle could have been a Britney Spears song immediately.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Again, what's the difference? How efficient it is? Huh? Huh? He says, sounding academic. Huh? Who's listening to us?
Casey. Oh, I'm sorry. K-U-C-A, the Bear, Conway, Arkansas.
Did you transposition those letters?
I did. K-U-C-A. It's the K that threw me off.
Yeah. Just go with the Bear.
Ooh, the
just,
Bear.
Just go with the Bear. Yeah. Back in a minute here on Rock School. Out of the break, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. Comedian Sarah Silverman has filed a lawsuit along with two other authors against OpenAI. You say, wait a minute, you said Sarah Silverman is a comedian, and then you said along with two other authors. Silverman is going out of her way to do it as an author, like a published book author against OpenAI. Here's the idea of the lawsuit, and it's a good argument. It can get slapped down, but it's still a good argument. They state that since the AI scrapes through published works, meaning you got to give it a base from which to do. So if you point it at, you know, EBSCO, or you point it at all these different books, well, it's going to pull from those books. Yes, but so would a human being who's read all those books. But anyway, they state that since it was created by the AI, anything the AI created by scraping through the books must be, quote, derivative. It has no choice but to be derivative. It has to be a derivative of what was created, because the AI hasn't any creativity. And you're going to say, well, they're going to program that in. Maybe, but it ain't there now. It has no choice but to recreate what it's already found, which is how I'm able to. I just run it through a delineator. Some kid writes a paper.
Yeah.
And his earlier writings were like, dog, tree, Nixon, trees have leaves. And then all of a sudden, it's Shakespearean. Fine, we used to have this program called Turnitin, and I wouldn't do it very much because I consider myself a professional paper reader.
Right.
I would just simply do a Google search and I'd find it. It's not hard, especially fun when the student copies and pastes it, but then doesn't change the font or the size.
No.
Or if they get it from Wikipedia, you know, those little brackets that show the site.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they leave that in.
No.
Genius. But if it's one of those where, who wrote this? Come on, man. I can just simply run it through about two delineators, three now that I think about it, and it will tell me a percentage of, is this from OpenAI or from GPT? And I have it in my syllabus. If it says 75% or better, you stole it. You gotta prove it to me. And no one's fought me on it yet. No one.
Oh.
But the fact still remains that, according to Sarah Silverman, if it got scraped up from the AI, it has no choice but to be derivative. Thus, it can't be copyrighted. That, to me, is, I believe, the best argument yet. You know? The problem is what Anthropic said. What is used is minuscule. So let's say I write a song and I use the note F. And here comes Kiss. And Kiss says, hey, we used the note F. And? So what? Let's say I listen to Kiss and I think Paul Stanley's guitar sound is great. And it is. It's a neat little, it's not too distorted, it's poppy. Hey, I created that guitar sound. No, you didn't. You created a guitar sound that sounded like stuff you liked before that you heard before.
But Sarah Silverman is concerned about comedy, right?
Yeah. And again, the AI will not write a joke. It doesn't understand what a joke is.
Yet.
You know, yet. I agree. So Silverman states, doesn't matter wherever it came from copyright, it has to be derivative, period. Good argument. I don't know how else to say it. It's a good argument. Yeah, I love it. Gonna play a song. Do you know the song by Alana Miles, Black Velvet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about Elvis Presley?
Yes.
What a gorgeous bass line in it. It
yes,
starts
it is.
A bum, 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 da, dum. Gorgeous. It's a computer.
Stop it.
Even if you look at the liner notes, it doesn't say bass player. It says bass programming.
Ah, boo, hiss.
There you go. Alana Miles here in Rock School. Okay, coming into the bottom of the hour, and I'll just warn you up front, this break's going to go a little bit. I believe, and so do a lot of other people, that the problem with AI is really a combination program. It's AI and the fact that AI is scraping it, but it's also the idea of copyright being far too restrictive. I put up a song that was a basic 1-4-5 chord progression. That's a blues progression. And a ukulele company brought a copyright strike against me. And I fought it, and I kept the email. And they said, okay, we dropped the lawsuit. But it's only every single blues song ever written.
Right.
How in the world do you think you own it? So I think we have here a concern between too much copyright litigiousness and the idea of AI. And this break is going to sort of outline that for you. But first, I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Tammy Burns.
All right, let's do 7 days and 70 seconds. Here are the dates, March 11th all the way through March 17th. Tammy, go.
March 11, 1963, the Man Hug Blues Brothers are signed to EMI and immediately change their name to Manfred Mann Blues Band.
March 12, 1964, the British invasion is complete, as for the first time, there are no American acts in the top 10.
March 13, 1965, Eric Clapton leaves the Yardbirds. Jeff Beck will replace him.
March 14, 1982, at a venue called Radio City in Anaheim, California, Metallica play their first ever show.
March 15, 1976, Kiss releases Destroyer. Destroy it. Detroit Rock City is the first single.
Giggle, giggle, giggle. March 16th, 1968, sitting on the dock of the bay, becomes the first posthumous number one following the death of Otis Redding. And then finally, March 17th, 1958, the first greatest hits compilation is released by Johnny Mathis. It's done because they need to fulfill a contract. You owe us a record. Take all these old songs and put them together. Okay.
Oh, posthumous. Look how that's spelled. My gosh.
I know. You got to know it. All right.
Who?
Right now, Dua Lipa is facing 3 lawsuits from what a lot of places. Now, I got this from Global News online. Global News. It says here that there are these things called these people called copyright ambulance chasing lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they simply find other songs that sounds something like a song that's out there. And then they sue. It's ugly.
I think it's
a dumb thing to do. I think it is, too. Again, Dua Lipa has 3 of these things up against her. Have we gone too far with music copyright? I think so. I don't think there is such a thing that isn't in some way derivative.
Mm-hmm.
If I listen to rock music my whole life growing up, that's what I'm going to like.
Right.
Every blues song that came out of the Delta was the same way. And you say, well, why didn't they do something different? Well, I don't know. Maybe the audience didn't want anything different. They made their money playing in juke joints where people are dancing.
Right.
They go in there and go, well, here's something that's brand new. And the dance floor clears. It's what people liked. Okay. Have you heard of the idea of cultural appropriation? Have you heard of that where some person who is not Asian wears like a geisha outfit to the prom and people who are Asian say, no, you can't do that. That's ours.
Uh-huh.
Or somebody who is Caucasian sets up a taco truck.
Right.
And somebody who is Mexican says, no, you can't do that. That's cultural appropriation.
Okay.
Okay. It's starting to become something in the music industry.
How?
There is a lawsuit right now that has been termed the Dembo suit. Dembo is a rhythmic pattern popular in Latin music. Okay? There's 2 guys that are bringing the lawsuit, Steely and Clive. They have a song called Fish Market. And in Fish Market, it has the Dembo beat. Dig this. I'll play about 20 seconds of it. Okay, there you go. Doesn't that sound like Latin music?
Every other song.
Right. And if I say, well, what doesn't this sound like blues music? Doesn't this sound like, R&B? Doesn't this sound like... There are markers there are things that make it what it is. Well, these two fellas, Steely and Clive, claim they own it, and they are suing Yankee and Bad Bunny and a bunch of other people who own it.
Oh, no, no, no.
Can you do that?
I can't even imagine.
There are 55 other artists who have used the Dembo rhythm, including Justin Bieber. Now, here's my question. I mean, there are rhythms that are associated with Jamaican music, like reggae. It's called a drop one beat. There's American rock and roll. It's called a backbeat.
Right.
And if somebody did it, they can't claim it's theirs. It's like trying to copyright the word the. I don't think you can.
Why even try to do it? That's because, what I don't understand.
Because you can. Because you can.
Yeah, but it costs money to do these things, right?
I'd love to tell you it does, but
if you're, doesn't?
No, if you're dealing with a lawyer that wants to get a big payday, he or she may very well say to you, well, you don't pay unless you win, but then I take 50% or what have you.
That's scary.
There's also a swing beat. There's the Bo Diddley beat. Well, Bo Diddley doesn't own it. It came from somewhere. The reggae beat, the samba beat, the funk, the shuffle, the four on the floor. You know what four on the floor is? When you're playing drums, you hit the kick drum. Every single beat, four beats, four on the floor. The backbeat, I would argue you can't own them.
Cajun music?
Cajun. There's a specific sound and a specific beat to it.
Right, with Zydeco.
Just because somebody did it before you, does that mean you can own it? That's what scares me. And I'm going to tell you something that may scare you even more. I'm going to turn it around and because everyone's like, well, AI is doing something terrible. But what if somebody used AI against you?
What do you mean?
I'll tell you that here in a second. Do you know Take On Me?
Yeah.
Yeah? There's no drummer in the song.
Is that a guitar?
Nope, that is a fake drum. Shouldn't the company that made the drum beat own part of it? It's Aha here on Rock School. Okay, coming into the second break, let me see if I can't frighten you just a little bit more. There are two authors. Listen to me going out of my way to give these authors credit for what was written. It came out in a college paper, WVU, which I think is West Virginia University, WVU Today, Professor Sean Tu, he teaches law, and grad student Angelin Genman, I think it's Angelin, asked for a stunning question. Here we go. What happens with this copyright concern? No, I don't think you can own a beat. But what happens with the copyright concern when people start to take AI and turn it around on people? Instead of AI scraping the bottom of the barrel, trying to find things on the earth that they can it can then use to build something else. What if there's a couple of ambulance-chasing copyright lawyers that new song comes out? Let's say Bruno Mars comes out with a new song called, I don't know, Pork Rinds or Dog Tree.
Bruno.
Out it comes. I only said pork rinds because we have a bag of pork rinds.
Oh, they're so good.
In here.
Would he love them? Bruno would love them.
I would love them. Here's the thing. If the lawyer decides to take an AI program or have one built for him and he feeds into it, here's the new Bruno Mars song called Bathtub. Can the AI now go out and search how many billions of songs are on Spotify? 4, 5, 12, 87, who cares?
Yeah.
There's a point at which the number's so big, who cares anymore? But can the AI search through and find 10 songs that are somewhat close and out goes the lawsuit?
Yes.
See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, it's bad.
There's a point. We're all talking about it stealing our stuff, but how long before somebody takes it and turns it around and weaponizes it against you? I'm sorry, we are just going to have to recreate copyright law and create some kind of a blanket thing.
Okay.
Meaning, you pay this blanket amount.
To who?
To the government. For copyright.
Okay.
And then at the end of the year or the end of the quarter, you simply state, I used this and this and this and this and this. It's been talked about in terms of rap music, where you literally create a new song by taking samples of other places.
Right.
So rather than sample to sample to sample, you pay this. And then at the end of your album, you simply legally list every sample that you use, and then you pay a royalty on that. Doesn't that make sense?
People, they're not going to do that.
I know they're not going to do it, because that means someone who got sampled did not make $11 billion. But you will be sued.
Mm.
How long before that happens? That makes me more nervous than just about anything. Who's listening to us?
WHFC, Harford Community Radio.
Brilliant. Back in a minute here on Rock School. Coming out of the break, I have another long thing to talk about here, so we'll make this the last break of the show. This all comes from musicbusinessworldwide.com. I gotta be honest with you, I don't know this for a fact, but I can't imagine that the Rock School show isn't part of an AI scraping. Meaning, you know, take a look for every podcast. We show up on a good number of lists.
Yeah.
You know, here are the top rock, or here are the top educational, or here are the what have you. We signed up for a company one time, and we were being listened to in a bunch of foreign countries. We were
right.
Like the number two music podcast in...
It was Guam.
Was it Guam?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people on Guam, but the fact still remains.
I love it.
We made it to Guam, and I was just looking. We've got another radio station who's playing us. They're out of the San Francisco Bay Area. We could have another... you know, station playing us. And it's entirely possible, since we don't track out of the website, we could probably have 10 other stations playing us. They're just grabbing it from the website.
And we're not about making money.
No, we don't care. Don't pay us a penny. If you run something and you want to run the Rock School radio show, all you got to do is tell me. I don't want your money. In fact, I'll even do voiceover for you.
What?
Now, in that, I want your money.
No, you don't.
But if I'm doing it for the station, yeah. If I'm doing it for the show, that's great. But if you want me to do, you know, KWWW Cleveland, you know, I want money for that.
You do?
I do.
Aww.
Yes, I do. Dublin-based Barry Scannell. This is part of the Music Business Worldwide thing that I was reading. A leading AI expert, an Ireland-based corporate law firm. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a question, and it's a good question. Is AI a tool? Is AI a creator? For example, any of you who are using Adobe Photoshop, any of you who are using Dreamweaver, any of you who are using a non-open source program to help you, let's say you create, using Photoshop, a beautiful new cover for a new band, and it hits big. I mean, it starts to become something like the Lips and Tongue logo for the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
Could Adobe Photoshop come back and say, you used our program to create it, so we get a portion of it? Do you think they could do that?
Yes.
In this litigious society,
terrible.
I think they could as well. Now, that's not a work for hire, but the thing is, you were paying money. It's a monthly fee now, which is one of the reasons I don't use Photoshop anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I use an open source called GIMP. I know, badly named, but it is an equal to Photoshop. I know Photoshop up and down, but you know, things are in different places and all, but it's the same program. It's got a learning curve, but it's a freebie. If I created something like that in GIMP, could GIMP come back? Now, therein lies the question. there's going to have to be a lawsuit that states for once and for all, is AI a tool or is AI a creator? For example, September 2022, a person named Ms. Kashtanova, K-A-S-H-T-A-N-O-V-A, Kashtanova, was granted a copyright for her partially AI-generated graphic novel, Zyra and the Dawn. However, when it came out, because this Ms. Kashtanova decided to make it a thing, so the copyright office started looking at it again, they took it away. They took away the copyright. Okay. She then was given the ability to refute them revoking the copyright. And here's what she said. AI is a tool. I used it to make. I told it how to make it. I told it what I wanted. I told it this, that, the other thing, what colors, what shape, how to frame it. And it did it according to my own parameters. Explain to me how that is a different thing than using Adobe Photoshop.
Oh.
See what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
If she did it out of her own brain completely and she physically drew it, pencil to paper, okay, I get that. But are you going to talk derivative? This person, I don't know what the real name is, Ms. Kashtanov. Ms. Kashtanov is an artist, which means her whole life she has been looking at other art. She has been looking at, oh, I like that. I don't like that. That's okay. Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
She is a derivative of literally everything she has seen since the beginning of.
That's what 59 years old is.
That's right. And you're going to be 60 soon. Goodness.
Up.
According to the Copyright Office, by the way, that was her argument. The Copyright Office turned her down. Let's say the Copyright Office now has a lawsuit against it. This is what the Dublin-based Barry Scannell said. Let's say it came up. The Copyright Office, quote, states, quote, if you're going to protect an idea, it has to be in a, quote, quote, fixed and tangible medium. Well, were the things that AI grabbed in a fixed and tangible medium? Yes. Were they? How did it get grabbed? Huh? He says, I agree with the author. Copyright Office should not need to prove a fixed and tangible item to make the image corrected. If they cannot, give her the copyright. If you can't prove to me where it came from, this image, this image, this image, this image, and this image, you get the copyright. That's what Joe thinks.
Mm.
Same with music. Yes, 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 yes. It was scrapped up from a million songs. So was my musical background. My guess is if I grew up in India, the music that I write would be different.
Right.
If I grew up in Russia, the music that I would write would be different. I am a derivative. So therein lies the problem. It's a concern because it's going to go back and forth and back and forth. I think the only way to get around it is to open copyright.
I agree.
The thing about copyright, people say to me, you know, how long does copyright last? I'm sure there's an answer, but let's be honest, forever.
Way too long.
Yeah, it's well past your dead. Yep. What do you care?
Yeah.
Forever. You create something at 10 years old, you're going to be long dead before someone can mess with it. So how long does copyright last? Forever. I get it. There's a number that I can have students put on a test, but it's forever.
And it sounds like lawsuits from this
That's
are
going to
last
like.
Forever.
That's all it sounds like. It
sounds
like lawsuits.
I don't want to live
lawsuits.
With a lawsuit over
Agreed.
My head.
Agreed. Absolutely.
No one makes enough money in middle-class America to have this lawsuit over your head forever.
Absolutely. All right, we've got to play a song to finish up the show, Manic Street Preachers, Why So Sad. The name of the song is So Why So Sad. Why am I playing it? I ran into a thread where somebody said, I really like the keyboard sounds in Manic Street Preachers. How do I get it? What VST did they use? If you don't know what a VST is, I only own 100 of them. VST stands for Virtual Studio Technology. It's a plugin. I have a keyboard right here in front of me, 88-key keyboard. I want it to be a piano, a grand piano, a stand-up piano. I want it to be an organ. I want it to be an MC organ. I want it to be a synthesizer. I want it to be the exact synthesizer that was on all the Yes albums. I want it to be an accordion. I want it to be a drum kit. How do I do that? It's a series of samples as part of a VST. Let's say I wrote a hit. Does the VST get part of it? Apparently, the Manic Street Preachers used VSTs to create it. Is that good or bad? I'll be honest with you, I don't care. A good song is a good song. I don't care how good your samples are. If you create a good song with it, success. Just a nice sample won't do it. Do you agree with that or don't you?
No, I do.
Do you?
Totally.
Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Tammy Burns.
The end. Class is dismissed.